Radio Prague News.
Industry and Commerce Minister Martin Kocourek has rejected accusations of corruption. The Justice Ministry has warned that the prison system lacks money for food, water, fuel and electricity next year. And the Czech Governing Coalition has agreed on postponing its tax reform until 2014. Industry and Commerce Minister Martin Kocourek on Wednesday rejected accusations of corruption. Anti-corruption police are investigating a multi-million crown deal between an investment company and Mr. Kocourek's mother back in 2008. Mr. Kocourek said that 16 million crowns in bonds sent to his mother's account was legitimately his, and that he had rerouted it through the company in order to keep it out of his divorce settlement. He said he did not intend to resign as minister and that that decision would rest on Prime Minister Nečas, who he is to meet with on Wednesday. Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil has warned that the prison system lacks money for food, water, fuel and electricity next year. He has therefore asked the government to approve an additional 75 million crowns for the ministry's budget to fund prison services. Mr. Pospíšil says that in light of the overcrowded conditions in Czech prisons, a lack of finances could have fatal results in the form of mass prisoner protests. The Justice Ministry warned of a critical situation in prisons in the spring of this year, whereupon it asked for 350 million crowns. A payment of 145 million went to the prison system directly from the government's budget in the summer. The new request states that that payment solved the immediate problem, but that the prisons are now back to square one. The lower house of parliament has passed a new version of the civil code. If ratified in the Senate, the extensive 3,000-paragraph bill will be valid until 2014 and will introduce three basic spheres of private law, family, ownership, and contracts. The Justice Ministry hails the new codex as ensuring better protection for the rights of citizens. The Communist Party, which has stalled the bill since the summer, counters that it benefits owners and the wealthy. The approval of the new civil code, which was 10 years in the making, has been one of the government's top priorities. The current civil code came into effect in 1964 and, despite being updated since, does not take into account all areas of modern life. The Czech Governing Coalition has agreed on postponing its tax reform until 2014. Zbigniew Stanjura, chairman of the Civic Democratic Parliamentary Party, told reporters on Tuesday the new rules would be effective as of 2014, but a new system of gambling taxation would be introduced at the beginning of next year. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek said the move was necessary in order to harmonize the legislation with the new civil code. The coalition leaders agreed that lottery tax revenues would be divided between municipal authorities and the state, with 70% staying with the local authorities and 30% going to state coffers. Doctors' unions negotiating pay rises with the Ministry of Health failed to reach any agreement on Wednesday after a meeting with Minister Leo Heger. Mr. Heger is insisting on a 6.25% rise from January in place of the 10% he negotiated earlier this year. An analysis of January income, he says, will not allow him to provide more, and he plans to make up the remaining percentage during the course of 2012. The unions are demanding the agreed rises as of January and have organized a series of protests to try to hold the ministry to its word. At the beginning of the year, hospital physicians threatened mass resignations if their salaries were not raised to meet Western European standards. Now turning briefly to the weather. Currently, cloudy conditions are expected to improve on Thursday. Daytime highs should be around 11 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's show, the eastern town of Setín faces a Roma exodus. The Brno Defense University has developed a 3D visualization system to be used in field missions. In Spotlight, we will visit Gurdjieff, one of the oldest wine-growing communities in Moravia. And of course, we'll end with a Czech lesson. All that coming up, so please do stay with us. In late 2006, Jiří Čunek, then mayor of the eastern town of Setín and later Christian Democrat chairman, made a controversial decision to move several hundred Romani rent defaulters out of a dilapidated block of flats in the town centre and relocate them in a complex of porter cabins on the outskirts of Setín. Now, 5 years on, most of them are choosing to move even further, as far as the United Kingdom. Pavla Horák has the story.
According to the Setín Municipal Authority, 130 Roma have left the town for Great Britain, and another 100 say they want to follow suit, such as this young woman interviewed by Czech television.
I'm thinking about leaving, but we will wait and see what happens in January. There will be a lot of new laws in January, so we will wait until then. I myself would go happily.
Members of the local Roma community say they hope not to face racial prejudice in Britain and to find a job. Many of them are unemployed and their debts are soaring. Local community coordinator Marianne Toulet says it is easy to condemn the Roma for not working and living on state welfare, but according to him, finding a job is hard.
It happens that we arrange a job interview for someone, but when they turn up, they're told their position is no longer vacant.
Those leaving are hoping to create a better life for themselves in Britain, seeing the example of Irena Grunzová, a relative of one of the families, who moved to London 12 years ago and works for a cleaning service. Speaking over Skype, she told Czech television that she too could not find a job back in the Czech Republic.
When a company here advertises vacancies and needs people, they don't care whether you're Roma, Pakistani or black. But it's not what some people think, that they come here and will immediately receive social benefits and welfare. Here one has to work, and when you do work, the state will provide you with help and support.
Christian Democrat senator and former mayor of Setín Jiří Čunek, who was behind the move of the Roma families to the porter cabins 5 years ago, says those leaving now are just using their right to free movement.
I hear they are seeking jobs. That surprises me, but it also makes me happy at the same time.
To mě velmi překvapuje a zároveň těší.
According to the head of the government's Agency for Social Inclusion in Romani localities, Martin Šimáček, this kind of rhetoric only increases tension in society. At the moment, the Setín exodus is one of several areas of friction between the Roma community and the majority population. Ethnic unrest has been troubling the northern district of Šluknov following a number of violent attacks in the summer, which the locals blame on members of the Roma minority. Most recently, the EurasiaReview.com site quoted the Hindu statesman Rajan Zed calling for the immediate withdrawal of a Czech primary school textbook, which reportedly stereotypes Roma and is offensive.
My thanks to Pavla Horáková for that story. Moving on now to scientific research. Specialists at the Defence University in Brno have developed a new system for the Czech military to improve planning as well as the real-time monitoring of missions in the field in 3D. Most intriguing is that the system makes use of technology from Microsoft's Xbox gaming console but applies it to real-world situations, including the battlefield. Earlier, Jan Wellinger spoke to the head of the project, Major Petr Františ, and asked him to describe the system's strategic and tactical uses.
This system is intended to use as a visualization layer in 3D for the command and control system, which is the system that is used for battle planning and for controlling and commanding the battle. The army uses the command and control system, which is basically the big information system composed from blue force tracking, which means that we are tracking our forces in the field. And the informations are gathered in this command and control systems and are plotted to standard monitors and screens in 2D. But our system is the layer that is above and can visualize the situation in 3D. so the commander can have the overview and according to the terrain and can see the unit movement and unit positions according to the terrain and surrounding area.
And will that allow a commander to make quicker decisions or better decisions?
Yes, for sure. That can surely help the commander to make better decisions based on the knowledge of the terrain features. For example, if we can imagine the situation in Afghanistan, in the brigade planning room, the brigade staff can plan the operation using our 3D visualization systems and can have better understanding of the situation in the surrounding area where the battle is located.
This kind of thing, of course, helps make missions more accurate and at the end of the day can help save lives.
Yes, for sure. And the biggest news of this 3D visualization is that we use the Kinect sensor from Microsoft on the Xbox console, which is a brand new thing. And we compose this Kinect sensor to the 3D visualization. So the commander is not forced to use a computer mouse and a keyboard to move in this 3D terrain visualization, but can use its own body to control his path in the 3D. So by moving his hands or his body, he can easily navigate in the 3D environment.
On Czech TV, I saw that you were wearing a pair of goggles. What is their application?
Well, the 3D visualization uses the stereoscopic image projector. It's something like you can see in the 3D movies in a cinema or IMAX. So we edit the stereoscopic projection for our visualization layer. So the commander sees the terrain in stereoscopic, like for left and right eyes.
Is that surprising that something which would be, I guess, fairly low in terms of costs would have this sort of high use or this level of use?
Yes, and this is a very, very exciting, and also it's something that Microsoft appreciates and helped us because he provided the Kinect sensor and also the software development kit for us, because it's a sort of a real use for formerly gaming device that has a real advantage in the military system. As far as we know, the British military also thinks about using the Kinect sensor for the command and control systems, but I believe that we are the first one that we actually developed the application and that is running.
Petr Frankiš from Brno's Defence University, and he was speaking there to Jan Wellinger. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, you may think of the Czech Republic as a beer-loving nation, but a trip to Kurjov in the eastern part of the country might make you think differently. Wine is something the locals understand and appreciate. Here's Christian Falvey with Spotlight.
South Moravia is well known for its wine, which has been produced there at least since thirsty Roman soldiers far from home began doing so in the 2nd century. Move forward 1,000 years or so to the 13th century, and wine trading had become one of the most profitable businesses in the region. Those are the days that our destination for today stretches back to. The village of Kurjev is just a tiny pinprick on the map, about halfway between Brno and Břeclav, and there are just enough inhabitants for each of them to have their own day of the year. But while easy to overlook, Kurjev is notable for many ancient features, all born of the fact that this is one of the oldest wine-growing communities in the region. In fact, the first time anyone mentioned Kurjev in writing, it was about wine, specifically the sale of vineyards, in 1286. Such was the local wine then valued that the four sons of the local nobleman agreed around 80 years later that, quote, all the wine from the hills of Kurjev be divided into four parts, so that none might be diluted. To describe the village of those days is Antonia Němečková, a businesswoman and promoter of Moravian wine.
Kurjev is one of the oldest vineyard communities in the country, and whichever direction you look in, the hills there used to be covered in vineyards. The village was German-speaking and had more than 1,000 inhabitants. It was an affluent community, and between all the fields there were wine cellars. The fortified church is also a testament to the wealth of the village. The fortifications were erected to protect against the raids of those who wanted to plunder the village.
There were lots of enemies, to be sure, from Turks and Hungarian rebels to rapacious Swedes. Most of them took the added effort of burning the village down, while Transylvanian Prince Gabriel Bethlen actually took 400 of the villagers as slaves. The people of Kurdyaev were ready for the Tartars, at least. During their onslaught, the villagers did a great deal of damage to them, thanks to the useful presence of a fortified church, today one of the oldest monuments in South Moravia. The church was here as early as 1350, with the fortifications added later. Miroslav Zemlička, a guide in the church, describes some of its interesting features.
The bells come from 1456, 1469, and 1606. During the First Republic, their value was estimated at 500,000 crowns, but today they are priceless. The tower adjacent to the church used to be 53 meters. Today, its height is 45 meters because previous repairs and other work had to decrease it to keep it from falling over.
Also part of the fortification is the Chapel of All Saints.
The encroachment of foreign troops or other enemies in the village could be prevented not only from the city walls, but also through the crenels or battlements with arrow slits on the chapel. Previously, the chapel and the church were connected by a bridge. It's not here today because it collapsed sometime during the 18th century, so the church and the tower can only be reached from the outside.
While lovely today still, history has taken away some of the once grand features of the tower. Each floor originally had four smaller turrets, the tops of which had green weathercocks and stars. Harder for time to erase is the set of underground tunnels beneath the tower, accessible from the nearby wine bar, where Miroslav Zemlička offers a local speciality, spirit of almond. The neighboring town of Hustopeche hosts the only almond orchard in the country. It's a good courage booster for what lies ahead.
Now I'll be taking you into the local underground corridors. Among other things, they served as a hiding place when the village was attacked. There are 340 meters of tunnels here, and one of them went all the way to the church in Hustopeche. If you go by the road, that's 3 kilometers away, but in the 15th century, these tunnels were 12 kilometers long. With land changing hands over so many years, though, and various ways of settlement, the better part of the corridors did not survive. There's this section and then another in Hustopeche in the cellar of a pub.
The corridors get narrower and lower and wind around more and more the further one goes. It used to be that neither the church nor the corridors were secured, and Mr. Zemlička would visit them as a boy, so he has their every nook and cranny well mapped out. Today the area is accessible only on reservation.
When you go into the corridors, the first tunnel on the right is a dead end. At the end is a flight of stairs and beyond them, a metal door. That was the original entrance to the cellars. And if you keep going straight, then you'll come to the church, which you will recognize because there are stairs going up that are covered by concrete slabs. That corridor goes up to the altar. We're about 20 meters under the surface now, and it's quite damp. I'll light your candles now, and you can go inside.
Though Kurdyaev was originally a Czech village, which we know, among other things, because almost all of the recorded correspondence was written in Czech, a strong German influence beginning in the Renaissance overcame the settlement in the centuries to come. By 1921, there were 881 Germans, 19 Czechs, and 16 foreigners living in 212 homes there. After the Second World War, that situation radically changed. Antonia Němečková again.
After the expulsion of the Germans, the population here went overnight from 1,000 to 2 people, so the village was doomed until they began resettling the borders. A lot of the people who received houses here didn't know how to deal with owning property. They didn't know how to take care of a house, so when the roof caved in on them, they just moved to the next empty house. Gradually, almost all the property in the village was destroyed in this way. After the revolution, in 1993, I met a married couple from Austria who were taking a picture of one of the houses. So I invited them to come and have a look at what was new in Kurdyjov. They had tears in their eyes and said they had been born in that house, told us not to worry, that they don't want it back. They had just come to look and see how it was doing.
Today, Kurdyjov is far from a backwater. It is a much sought-after retreat for private and business gatherings with tennis courts, hotels, and of course vineyards and wine tastings. There are plenty of different wines from different vintners on hand for you to try out, thanks in part to Ms. Niemeczkova's business efforts.
We are promoters of Moravian wine, and the way we decided to do that is by building the biggest wine bars. We selected 100 winemakers and took 6 wines from each. Then we selected from that, and now we support what we believe are 30 truly excellent winemakers.
Kurdyjov and its surroundings offer a beautiful environment for all kinds of interests, be they historical, sporting, or wine-related, and a visit to the nearby almond orchard in Hustopeche, a botanical rarity, is not to be forgotten. Almonds need a lot more warmth than the Czech Republic would normally offer, and out of what was once tens of thousands of trees, only about 800 remain. But the town there is determined to hold on to the orchard in spite of the difficulties.
That edition of Spotlight was prepared and presented by Christian Favi. Now, in the remaining time we have, we're offering you another Czech lesson. In view of its enormous popularity, Radio Prague is currently repeating its sound check miniseries, and today's Czech lesson is with Iva Vokurková.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, a program in which you can learn new Czech idioms with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is a duet by the Czech evergreens Karel Gott and Lucie Bílá from their 1997 hit album Duet. The phrase to listen out for is Co za lubem máš.
To zjeví mi pouze čas, co za lubem máš, to uhádnu dřív.
Co za lubem máš? Karel Gott asks Lucie Bílá. He is wondering what kind of mischief she's up to, because mít něco za lubem means to be up to monkey business. It doesn't necessarily have to be something negative. It can be something naughty, cheeky or playful. The closest English equivalent would be to have something up one's sleeve. The phrase is generally used when you are wondering what someone is up to, when you don't know what it is, but you suspect that there is something funny going on. In our song, Karel Gott believes that he can tell what Lucie Bílá is up to, co má za lubem.
Co za lubem máš, to uhádnu dřív a snad.
I must admit that I never really thought about what the phrase means literally, and when I sat down to write today's sound check, I realized that despite being a Czech native speaker, I had no idea what the word lup actually stands for. So I did a bit of research and here is what I found. Lup is an expression used for a special wooden vessel or container that was used in the old days for milling flour. Inside the vessel, there were several joints and the finest grain flour would stick in the nooks and crannies. The miller knew very well that the fine flour was hidden, za lubem, in the hidden crannies of the lup and would shrewdly keep it for his own use. Therefore, when you have something za lubem, then you hide your wicked intentions from the others so that they don't know what you are up to and can wreck your plans.
Co za lubem máš, to uhádnu dřív a snad.
It is not only za lubem that you can keep something. In Czech you can also say mít za ušima, literally to have it behind your ears, meaning that you are smart in a foxish, rude way. Another place where you can, so to say, keep your cleverness is under your cap, počepití. When someone has it under his cap, then he is smart, clever and resourceful and know his way around. Well, I have no idea what you are hiding under your cap or behind your ears, but I have to go now. So thanks for listening and nashledanou. Co zvládnout smím, to zjeví mi pouze čas. Co za lupem máš, to uhádnu dřív a snáz. Mám času dost, já doufám,
that was Soundcheck with Iva Vokurková. You will find the entire Soundcheck series at www.radio.cz, along with all of Radio Prague's programs in text and sound. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. If you'd like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.